जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन जारी। यमुना तीरावन जारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपे जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन जारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद। ओ जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद। नीताय गौर हरिबोल 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 गौर हरिबोल। नीताय गौर हरिबोल 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 गौर हरिबोल। जय निथाय गौर प्रेमानंदे। जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 9 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 42.
తమిమమహమజం శరీర భాజ హృదిరిదిష్టితమాత్మకల్పితానాం ప్రతిదృశమివ నైకధారకం నేకం సమాధిగతోస్మి విధూత భేదమోహ తమిమమహమజం శరీర భాజం హృదిరిదిష్టితమాత్మకల్పితానాం ప్రతిదృశమివ నైకధారకమేకం సమాధిగతోస్మి విధూత భేదమోహ తమిమమహమజం శరీర భాజాం హృదిరిదిష్టితమాత్మకల్పితానాం ప్రతిదృశమివ నైకధారకమేకం సమాధిగతోస్మి విదూత భేదమోహ.
Mataji's, word-to-word meaning, tam, that personality of Godhead, imam, now present before me, aham, I, ajam, the unborn, sharira bhajam, of the conditioned soul, hridi, in the heart, ridhi, in the heart, dishtitam, situated, atma, the super soul, kalpitanam, of the speculators, pratidrisham, in every direction, iva, like, na ekadha, not one, Arkam, the sun. Ekam, one only. Samadhi gataha asmi. I have undergone trance in meditation. Vidhuta, being freed from. Bheda moha, misconception of duality. Translation. Now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord Shri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart. Even in the hearts of the mental speculators, he is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Shri Krishna is the one absolute supreme personality of Godhead, but He has expanded Himself into His multi-plenary portions of His inconceivable energy. The conception of duality is due to ignorance of His inconceivable energy. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.11, the Lord says that only the foolish take Him to be a mere human being. Such foolish men are not aware of His inconceivable energies. By His inconceivable energy, He is present in everyone's heart, as the sun is present before everyone all over the world.
The Paramatma feature of the Lord is an expansion of His plenary portions. He expands Himself as Paramatma in everyone's heart by His inconceivable energy, and He also expands Himself as the glowing effulgence of Brahma Jyoti by expansion of His personal glow. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti is His personal glow. Therefore, there is no difference between Him and His personal glow, Brahma Jyoti, or His plenary portions as Paramatma. Less intelligent persons who are not aware of this fact consider Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma to be different from Sri Krishna. The misconception of duality is completely removed from the mind of Bhishma Dev, and he is now satisfied that it is Lord Sri Krishna only who is all in all in everything. This enlightenment is attained by the great Mahatmas or devotees, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. that Vasudev is all in all in everything, and that there is no existence of anything without Vasudev. Vasudev, or Lord Sri Krishna, is the original Supreme Person, as now confirmed by Aha Mahajan, and therefore both the neophytes and the pure devotees must try to follow in His footsteps. That is the way of the devotional line. The worshipable object of Bhishma Dev is Lord Sri Krishna as Partha Sarthi, and that of the gopis is the same Krishna in Vrindavan as the most attractive Shyam Sundar. Sometimes less intelligent scholars make a mistake and think that the Krishna of Vrindavan and that of the battlefield of Kurukshetra are different personalities. But for Bhishma Dev, this misconception is completely removed. Even the impersonalist's objects of destination is Krishna as the impersonal Jyoti, and the yogi's destination of Paramatma is also Krishna. Krishna is both Brahma Jyoti and localized Paramatma. But in Brahma Jyoti or Paramatma, there is no Krishna or sweet relations with Krishna. In His personal feature, Krishna is both Parthasarthi and Shyam Sundar of Vrindavan. But in His impersonal feature, He is neither in the Brahma Jyoti nor in the Paramatma. Great Mahatmas like Bhishma Dev realize all these different features of Lord Sri Krishna, and therefore they worship Lord Krishna, knowing Him as the origin of all features. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachārini Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarini Vancha Kalpa Darubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, we welcome everyone to today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Seeking everyone's blessings to speak something for my purification and in the service of all Vaishnavas. So today morning we're discussing from this particular verse, which is from the 9th chapter of the first canto and verse number 42. So as we read in the translation, this verse and some verses before this, there is this particular theme of prayers that we thought of, and I mean the discussion for today we'll base on prayers and the power of prayers. So that will be the theme of our discussion for this particular class today. So Bhishma Dev in this particular verse is offering prayers to Lord Sri Krishna on his deathbed before he is going to leave this particular world. So what is prayers? What are the power of prayers? Why should we pray? What is the need for prayers? What do we get by praying? What is the difference if we do not pray as a devotee in our devotional life itself? So these are some of the aspects and points we would like to touch upon in the next half an hour or so. So there is a word for prayer in Sanskrit. It is called as Vandanam. And there is a book by His Holiness Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj. So he has very nicely written on the subject matter of Vandanam or prayers very elaborately. So from a class of Amarendra Prabhu and also from this book, that will be the source and medium for our discussion this particular class. So Vandanam is something that we describe as prayers. When we offer prayers, we go in front of the deities and we offer prayers. That is something that we refer to as Vandanam in this particular language of Sanskrit. And there is something called as Bandhanam also. What is Bandhanam? Bandhanam means we are tied. If someone comes and ties you up or you are in shackles, so that is called Bandhanam. And how are we shackled in this world, in this material world? Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that we are all shackled by the three modes of material nature. So, by offering prayers, by the process of Vandanam, we can break through the shackles of Bandhanam. So that will be the foundation and the topic for today. So we see that in this world, the attraction principle is very much available for us to see in all species. Matanga, patanga, kuranga, bringamina. This is a famous verse which is there. So apart from that also, if we see, there is this deer which is fascinated by sound. If someone plays a little bit of flute or soothing music, then that is enough to captivate the heart of this deer. And what is the net result? What happens after that? The people who want to catch the deer, it is stunned by melodious playing of this flute sound. It is attracted by this flute sound. And the result of which is, it doesn't realize that it is prone to danger. It becomes captivated, attracted by that flute sound. Then we have the sense of tongue or taste. So recently we were in the Govardhan Eco Village and we had gone to the Goshala. So we had taken our devotees from park department. So then there was an interesting thing which happened. First we were given dry grass to feed the cow. And then in the initial phases when we were giving dry grass and nothing else was there, the cows were at least taking it. Then after that, we got cut, chopped, fresh, green grass. And then once that came, this took a back seat. And then all the cows were nourishing on this green, chopped, very nice, fine grass. After some time, we got jaggery laddus, buckets of laddus. So now as soon as those buckets of laddus arrived, and devotees started feeding the cows there in the Goshala. So the grass was kind of all laid down in the entire, you know, eating arena for the cows. But then as soon as they got the hint of laddus being fed, so when you start from the left side and the right side, immediately all the cows start clamoring for the attention and they all want a piece of that particular laddu. And then there was one particular devotee who was a little bit afraid to feed this laddu, because how do you feed the laddu? You have to catch it within your, you know, these two fingers. Because if you catch it like that, when the cow licks your hand, there are chances that the laddu might just drop off. So then you need to actually, you know, hold it with your two fingers and keep it so that when the cow licks, you have the grip on the laddu. So one devotee was a little bit scared to do that. So then this process of feeding the cows went on for a good 10 minutes. And in those 10 minutes, I was observing that he is trying picking up the grass, because that was much more simpler for him, and trying to feed the cow. And he tried for possibly 15 to 20 cows, not even one cow. You know, all they did was, you know, shake of the head, and then he was left with going to the other cow, other cow, other cow. So the point that I'm trying to derive is, when you give the cow a higher taste of that jaggery sweetness of that jaggery laddu, it's no more inclined and interested in having that dry grass, which originally it was having when, I mean, this particular laddu was not in the vicinity or vision of the cow. So the cow is attracted by the sweet jaggery laddu that was fed to it. Then there is something like today morning when I came down, there was a trap laid and there was a mouse caught in the trap on the third floor. So this is only the third floor, but if you go to skyscrapers, people live. So Prabhupada writes in one of his purports that there are ants and there are rats also. I mean, there was a rat trap. So there are ants which find their way. I don't know. Maybe today we have buildings of 80 floors, 85 floors. So at least till 20th, 30th floor, I have seen where ants, you keep sugar in your kitchen outside open. Sure enough, in an hour or 4 hours or 5 hours, you will find ants whichever floor you are living. So this is also another medium where you see that particular small ant, but how it manages to climb up and reach such tall buildings. Similarly, the case of rats. You live in a 2, 3, 4 floor building or you live in a skyscraper. There is a nuisance of being infected by rodents and pests like rats. So basically the attraction principle is the tongue for all these animals. Then one time Radhanath Maharaj, he was in Mayapur and he was speaking with his god brother lying down under a tree in Mayapur. Speaking, he was chatting for a number of hours. And then it was evening time, the lights fade very fast in Mayapur. And before they realized, it was pretty dark. Suddenly, they could realize that there was a tree next to them and there was a lot of light being emitted from that tree. So then in the course of the discussion, Maharaj was asking his god brother about that particular phenomenon and the god brother said, actually these are glowworms. And then they started discussing about this particular insect. And then Maharaj asked him, don't they glow during the day? So the god brother replied, they glow during the day, but their glow is overpowered by the light of the sun. So that is why they cannot be effective during the daytime. So during the night, it is that particular time when they get to show their light. And then why do they do that? To attract the female. The male exerts all the energy and glows and emits lot and lot of light. Why? For the sole purpose of attracting the female glowworm. And then Maharaj was telling, they were discussing that there is so much of energy to be exerted. And the more you exert your energy, the more you will glow. But after a few minutes, after some time, the light goes down. So it has to put more energy. Then even it goes down, then you put more energy until and unless it might leave his body. So that is the futility. And this is the attraction of the eye that the glowworm is attracted to. So Maharaj in one of his classes, quoting this example, was mentioning about what is the fallacy of this material world where we see that from this example of this glowworm, the happiness that it derives is also very flickering. But the point is they are attracted. So that principle of attraction is all pervasive in animals and also in humans. For example, the perfume industry from the sense of smell or nose. Even humans, we all are attracted. I mean, we do not want to have a bad smell. If you go out for a program and then if you stay for a long time, you want to make sure that you smell nice. You don't want to have a bad odor coming out from you. So people all are attracted to the various aromas and different substances that are available in this world. So that is the principle of attraction to the, smell. But then the stark point is, the attraction is not the principle that we are trying to convey. This attraction is not something that is naturally it is coming to us. We find this attraction from things which are outside of us. For example, generally women are there and you can have Radharani also. So basically we have ornaments. So when the ornaments are kind of decorated, then they feel more attractive or they are more beautiful in that sense. You may be having a golden ring, for example. But then it is the diamond, 24 karat gold, diamond studded on that particular golden ring, that will be more attractive and that will make the ring look more attractive. Similarly, we have wonderful carvings. We have the dome of the temple. So those things might not be visible once the sunlight goes away. So when the sunlight shines brightly, the dome of the temple actually looks more beautiful. So it is not that the dome of the temple is not beautiful, but that sunlight makes it look more attractive. So to basically drive home the point, we kind of know that who is all attractive? Krishna is all attractive. And what is the definition of the word Krishna? We derive this from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 9.30. So there is this verse, and this verse is quoted in the Mahabharata. It is quoted by Jeev Goswami also, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. And this particular verse is actually that gives the word Krishna its original definition. So if anyone wants and asks you, what is Krishna? We keep chanting Krishna, 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 and we are, he's all attractive. But then what is the meaning of all attractive? So this particular verse from the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives us that particular reason or that particular thing why Krishna is all attractive. So it is a very good verse for all of us to know. So it is Krishir Bhuvachako Shabdo Nascha Nivrittir Vachaka Tayor Aikyam Param Brahma Krishna Tityabhidhiyate. So the two key words is syllables are Kris and Na. So Krishir Bhuvachaka Shabdo Kris. So here Chaitanya Charitamrita says that what is Krishna? Krishna means all attractive. Now when you split it into two syllables, the first syllable Kris means attraction. That means it is the source of this particular Kris. It is so attractive that it draws everybody towards the source of all attraction, that is Lord Shri Krishna. But then also it means that Kris means greatness and Na means sweetness. So here the purport says Krishna is an epitome of someone who is great as well as someone who has sweetness in him. Now it is very, very difficult for a personality to have both these qualities if you actually sit down and think. It is something like you might have abilities to perform Herculean tasks. You might be accomplishing great, great projects. You might be accomplishing, you know, so many humongous services. But then you might not be the best possible person in aspect of communication, an aspect of that sweetness that you could share with other devotees. And there are the other side of it, whereas you'll be like very sweet with devotees, you'll be like talking for hours and hours together, very approachable, but then you might not have the element of, you know, performing great tasks or actually, you know. So Krishna is that particular, this verse basically gives us the definition where Krishna is an amalgamation of both greatness as well as sweetness. Something in our temple where we have, you know, two bodies. So you could kind of correlate something with that. So yeah, I found it very beautiful. So Krishir Bhuvachaka Shabdo Nascha Nivrittir Vachaka Tayor Aikyam Parabrahma Krishna Tityabhidhiyate. Further, Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, he elaborates that Krishna attracts us through four qualities. So there are four Fs through which Krishna attracts us. What is that? F for form, then there is F for flute, then there is F for frolics, and there is F for friends. So these are the four Fs through which Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion that Krishna captures the heart of one and all. So what is that? F for form is Rupa Madhuri. F for flute is Venu Madhuri. F for frolics is Leela Madhuri. And F for friends is Prema Madhuri. So these are the four ways in which Rupa Goswami narrates in the Nectar of Devotion how Krishna attracts the hearts of one and all. So it is said that Krishna is so beautiful that even at times Vishnu is attracted by the beautiful form of Krishna. Just a short story from the pages of Bhagavatam, where one time there was a Brahmana who was losing his sons one after the other. And after six sons, he was really, really very, very angry, sad, everything, all the emotions together. So he comes to Krishna, Arjuna, and he says, Am I really sinful? Am I really sinful? What is wrong? What is the sins that I have committed that one by one, all my sons are dying and I am not able to save them, or they are disappearing in front of my own eyes? Please do something to help me. I can't live without them. So then Krishna says, okay, let's do something. So then the first place where they go is, they go towards Yamaraj, he's not there. Then they go to Indra, then they go to Brahma, then they go to Shiva, then finally they go to Vishnu. And then when they go to Vishnu, there, and they ask, do you know something about the sons of this particular Brahmana? And then Vishnu smiles. And when Vishnu smiles, Krishna, Parmatma in everyone's heart, and Krishna and Vishnu are non-different. So basically he realizes that where the six boys are. And then Vishnu takes them to the inner chambers. And then Krishna also smiles, Vishnu also smiles. And then Vishnu says that Krishna asks, why did you do this? Why did you have to take these six boys? So then Vishnu says, I had heard about your form. I had heard about your beauty. I actually wanted to have your beautiful darshan. But then how can I leave Vaikuntha and come? I was helpless. I am there in taking care of the services in Vaikuntha. So I was really desperate to have your divine darshan. So that is why I did this. So then Krishna was a little bit shy and smiling shyly. So this is the attraction principle of Krishna, that even the four-handed form of Vishnu is attracted to the two-handed form of Krishna. Further, we see that how Lakshmi Devi herself is always attracted to the form of Krishna. In fact, this is the height of everything. Krishna himself is attracted by his own form. Dinabandhu Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, he narrates, he has a lot of pastimes about this. So one time in Vrindavan, Krishna was playing near the Yamuna. And then he happened to see a reflection of his own form in the Yamuna. And then very innocent, like a small little boy, he was so captivated by his own form in the river Yamuna that he actually speaks and he says, who is this beautiful boy? Who is this most beautiful, attractive boy? So here in this pastime, we come to know that even Krishna is attracted by his own form. So this is that power of attraction of Krishna's form. And when Krishna plays the flute, we see that all the animals in Vrindavan are stunned. They stop doing whatever they are doing, the gopas, gopis. In fact, the calves stop sucking the milk from the udder of the cows. So this is the power to captivate and attract the heart and minds of Krishna through his form, through his flute, through his friends, and through his pastimes, that is, frolics. So why are we mentioning, you may feel we are talking about prayers, but why are we mentioning about this attraction principle? So this is the attractive principle will lead us to about the all attractive nature of Krishna. Just for example, let us just say the richest man in this entire country. He has millions of dollars. He has millions of rupees sitting on top of the mountain of rupees. Is it possible you just take a 10 rupee note or a 100 rupee note and try to capture his attention? It will be very difficult. You might not even get an appointment to enter his complex. The manufacturers of so many kind of, you could see the manufacturer of this fan or the biggest manufacturer of electrical appliances. And you take one of a helpless kind of simple substance of electrical substance and you go and take it to him, you cannot kind of even reach him, forget attracting his attention. That will itself be very, very difficult. But then in the form, so this is the case of, these may be multi-millionaire peoples, but who is Krishna? Krishna is not only multi-millionaire, he is multi-million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, whatever terminology it comes. He is the emperor and, you could say the emperor king of the entire, kingdom of this entire world. So Krishna is, he doesn't have any comparison to the richest man in this particular universe also. But then that particular person called Krishna, what is he? What does it take to attract him? All that it takes to attract his attention is, you could see from the pastime of Gajendra. Now Gajendra is an elephant and it is having its legs in the jaws of a crocodile. So that is the beautiful picture every one of you all must have seen from the pages of the Bhagavatam. So when that happens, finally when it gives up after hundreds of years and eons of fighting with each other, it with its trunk, it just lifts a flower and offers it to Krishna. So Krishna is, Kunti Devi prays, Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankarjangriye. So Everything about Krishna is lotus-like. His eyes are lotus-like. His navel is lotus-like. His feet are lotus-like. Even the garland, he's decorated with a garland which is made of lotuses. And then the lotus that Gajendra is offering, it is not that he has actually manufactured or produced that lotus. That lotus itself has been created by Krishna himself. So it is nothing that Gajendra has done on his own that he is offering, and Krishna is, is attracting the attention of Krishna. But then the point here that we are trying to drive upon, how can we attract the attention of the Supreme Lord? It is not by what we do, by how we do. So by reciting beautiful prayers, heartfelt prayers, and in that helpless state, when we call upon the names of the Lord, that beautiful Lord, that all attractive and all powerful Lord, is forced to come down and protect us. Or in a sense, that is His mercy, that He is captivated and captured by the power of devotion, the power of prayers that we as devotees can offer. So that is something that we are blessed by in this particular age of Kali. That is one particular thing and a benediction that we have, and we should actually take full advantage of it, full benefit of it, because the Lord is standing right here. All we need to do is offer the right prayers to the Lord, and that should be heartfelt. So further we see that you could compare this particular thing to something like writing a letter. So there are three aspects in writing a letter. There is the destination address that we need when we need to send a letter to someone. So that you could compare with Krishna himself. That is destination address. Then the second thing is what we give. Then what we give is the envelope that contains the letter. So that is what we are giving the Lord. And the third thing is how we give. So inside the content of the letter, we have contents in the letter. So that indicates our devotion, our feelings, our emotions that we offer to the Lord. And through that, we can attract the attention of the Supreme Lord. So we have the letter, we have the destination address, that is Krishna. We have the envelope, that is what we give to the Lord. And the most important thing is what is there inside the letter, the contents of how we give. That is prayers that we offer. That is basically what we can help to attract the attention of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport in Madhya Leela that Krishna listens to our talks if they are sincere and we are prayerful. So for this, Prabhupada gives the example of Brahma. It is said that, Lord Narayan, Brahma is created from the lotus navel of Lord Narayan. So when he originates from that, from a lotus flower which comes through the navel, and then when Brahma came, it was pitch dark. There is no light. Imagine when you are there in a place where there is nothing, no light, and Brahma was in that darkness. So you, in that darkness also, Brahma was trying to find out, where am I, who am I, and where is it? Is there someone around here? So from the top, he goes down right into the stem, to the root of the lotus, and he cannot find something. Then he comes again on top. He sits upon the top of the lotus, and then he hears two syllables, ta and pa. That means tapa. So that means, and Brahma understood, he started, that means perform austerities, that means you start praying, that means go into a meditation and contemplative samadhi. So all these stages Brahma does, and then what is the net result? He offers wonderful prayers, and as a consequence of that, he is empowered. Bhagavatam says, tene hridayadi. So through the empowerment of Krishna, Brahma is empowered to blast the transcendental creation of this particular universe and material world that you and me are a part of. And then similarly like Brahma, so this is, Prabhupada gives this example to say that when a jiva feels very insignificant and very helpless, all he needs to do is take shelter through the power of prayers, offer it, and then through, what is the power of prayers? That when a jiva is despondent in darkness, Lord Krishna listens to his prayers and reciprocates by helping him to create something like a transcendental, powerful creation that Brahma has created. And similarly, Prabhupada himself in his life, he was an example for this particular thing. We all know how Prabhupada crossed the ocean, went to America when he landed. He was completely helpless. And at that particular time, Prabhupada prayed to Krishna that you have brought me here. I don't know what to do. Now that you have brought me here, I don't know anyone. I don't know where to go. How do I begin? But I am a puppet in your hands. Please, now choose to make me dance as you wish. And then what is the result of that? Just as Brahma made a material world in this, universe, Prabhupada also made and blasted a transcendental world. But the difference is Prabhupada's creation was a spiritual creation inside the material world. And both were empowered by Krishna. So this is the power of Vandanam. This is the power of prayers. So there are 9 limbs of devotional service. We have something like Smaranam where we hear. But then how easy is it to hear? There is a capacity of a particular speaker. He can go on for speaking, relishing the talks. But then when we are hearing, we have our limited taste and capacity to hear. Also then there is the next one is Sharavanam, Kirtanam. Again, how much are we interested in doing Kirtan and doing Japa? There is so much of modes. We are overcome by this mode of sleep also. Then there is Smaranam, where Prahlad Maharaj was very, very expert in Smaranam. So how much can we actually remember the Lord and remember Krishna in all our activities? Very difficult for us to actually do all these things. Then there is Archanam. Archanam is also worshipping the form of the Supreme Personality. And in this age of Kali, where we are all struggling for time, deity worship itself is a very tedious process. We don't have time to do elaborate, follow the principles of deity worship. What to speak about being a servant of someone? What to speak about sacrificing Atmanivedanam, giving up everything for the service? And then friendship with the Supreme Lord, that's a tall order. So then, out of the 9 limbs of devotional service, somewhat to say, what is the most easiest thing for you and me to do? Vandanam. You can, all it needs to do is go and stand in front of the Lord and then offer your heartfelt prayers. Just go and stand in front of the Lord, speak out to the Lord and talk to Him daily. So there is a definition of prayer which is from the Gaudiya Kantahar, and it is also said that life is very, very fragile. So how do we handle it? Just you handle, handle with care, you write. So life is fragile, handle with prayer. So if we pray, your life can be secure. So this verse particularly says, Tatpada Padma Pramanai Kaya Manasa Bhashatai Pranamo Vasudevasya Vandanam Katyate Budhai. So this is the definition of the word Vandanam. Vandanam Katyate Budhai. Katyate Budhai means the learned men. The learned men define Vandanam or call Vandanam as Tat Pada Padma. Tat means the Supreme Personality. Pada Padma means the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An intelligent person sees a person who offers prayers and worships that lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Kaya Manasa Bhashitai. BMW. Kaya means through body. Manasa means through mind. And Bhashitai means you speak out words. So you can remember this BMW. So through body, mind and words, when you actually offer yourself helplessly to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, learned intelligent men define that as Vandanam. And there is a complete understanding of this prayer of Vandanam is when we actually are helpless. Like the position of Gajendra, it is actually very normal. You see the National Geographic Channel or the Discovery Channel and you Google for videos. It is so common for you to find an elephant and then its leg in the jaws of a crocodile. That is not something very, very extraordinary thing which has happened. But what is the actual thing which has made this seemingly ordinary kind of behavior look extraordinary? Why is it mentioned in the scriptures? Why are we reading it day in, day out? Why are yugas after yugas and generations reading this particular pastime? It is because seemingly the ordinary act of a crocodile biting the leg of an elephant has turned out to be extraordinary just by the response of the elephant. So the elephant, that is Gajendra, in his previous life he was King Indradumna, and he remembered prayers that he had perfected and learned, shlokas or prayers that he had learned in his previous life as Indradumna Maharaj. And that elephant Gajendra, after he tried everything, finally he became helpless, and by body, mind and words, he lifted that lotus flower and he offered his heartfelt prayers for protection from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Draupadi, unfortunately, that's also a very common thing in this world. Women are not treated properly in this world. Every day we hear of some instance or the other. So Draupadi's disrobing in the Asat Sabha of Kurukshetra was no different than the acts that we hear now and then in the newspapers. So it's not a very, extraordinary thing to happen. But then what made it extraordinary? The response of Draupadi, the response of Gajendra, by calling out helplessly in that moment of crisis in their life, through their body, mind, words, when they actually fall in a straight line and call out to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is defined as Vandanam. And then they are also not bound to basically force the Lord to come and protect us and say, no, now I have done everything that is written as per definition. You are bound to protect me. I am taking your shelter. I am offering prayers. I am helpless. Now you have no other choice but to protect me. No. The mood of these devotees is, Maro bhi, rakho bhi. I am offering my prayers. Now the choice is yours, my Lord. You may choose to protect me, or you may choose that I undergo this suffering for my betterment in my future course of whatever cycle of karma that I have. So this is the mood that these great souls have. So there is a wonderful quote that there is power and there is prayer. So men work, they work. But then when men pray, so it is said, God works. So basically this is one of the beautiful quotes that I found on prayer. Also, Prabhupada has this wonderful paragraph that he has spoken. So I'd like to read it. So Prabhupada says, if there is some earthquake or there is some danger naturally, spontaneously we pray, but we forget it. On this particular point, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, in one of his lectures, he was mentioning that there are no atheists in foxholes. So then I was wondering, what is foxholes? So Maharaj says in that lecture that during the battlefield and war that we have, where actually you are on the battlefield and then you have these terrains, rough terrains. So you have these small holes where depression is there, where there is a stone on top or there are gunny bags or whatever, where the soldiers go and they just lay their body and hide and take shelter behind that particular stone or inclination on top. So that is a small hole like a fox, where a fox takes shelter. So at that particular time, in that time of war, Maharaj says, there are no atheists. You won't find any atheist in foxholes, because it's a matter of life and death. So when it's a matter of life and death, what are the words that come? Oh my God. So you remember God by default. So Prabhupada says, during disasters and calamities, it is spontaneous for a living entity to pray. The tendency of offering prayer to the Lord at time of danger is automatic. Vahan par kuch karne ki jarurat nahi hai. But then the important thing to realize is, we are in danger in this material world. The most important point is, what precarious situation are we in this material world? As a jiva, if we are surrounded by favorable circumstances, it is very, very natural for one to feel that life is going on pretty smooth. Everything is going on according to plan. There is no misery. Kaha hai? Dukh kaha hai? Aap log dukh ki baat karte hai. I am pretty happy. But then Prabhupada says, it is imperative for a soul to understand how precarious his situation is in this world. Padam padam, the next step, you don't know what is there in front of you. So it is very, very important for one to take shelter of the Supreme Lord by offering prayers. And then the world is in such a precarious situation. Every morning in Mangalarti we see samsara dava nala. Samsara dava nala. What is that? Forest fire. So there is forest fire in the stomach daily of hunger and thirst. There is forest fire in the heart. What is that forest fire? Envy, greed, lust, anger, pride. There is forest fire in our speech. What is that? Of harsh speech, criticism, prajalpa. There is forest fire outside in the form of intolerable weather and changing weather. There is forest fire in relationships, and there is forest fire as far as distress is concerned. So all these are not sufficient for us to realize that how precarious situation are we actually living in this particular world. And if that is also not sufficient, then all you need to do is wait till you actually experience something. So that before that, Prabhupada says, realize the precarious situation that you and me are, and go and offer prayers to the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. Jayapataka Maharaj further says that prayer is a very important activity, and it is a private talk between you and God. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, one time, this pastime is there where it demonstrates how prayer is a very private talk between the living entity and Krishna. So Prabhupada goes in one temple, and when Prabhupada enters, comes in front of the Lord, there is a complete huge gathering of devotees. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was serving him. He somehow struggles to reach next to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, like in his usual Bengali regal style, he looks like this to the deities, and then he's like, Tamal Krishna Maharaj could see him. His lips were moving like this. And then there was a pause. Again his lips were moving. There was a pause. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj found it intriguing. And he said, let me put my ears next to Prabhupada's mouth and try to listen to what he's speaking. So he writes in this that Prabhupada says, so, are they serving you nicely here? And then he nods his head. After a few seconds, Prabhupada says, do they wake you up on time? And do they put you to rest on time? And then there is a silence for again few seconds. And then again Prabhupada nods his head. And then Prabhupada says, are they feeding you well, offering all the bhogas and offering all the aartis to you? And then again there is a pause. And then Prabhupada again nods. So then the day goes, is Tamal Krishna Maharaj was really like, his mind had, completely like, his jaw was completely broken, and he didn't realize what's happening in front of him. Then after a few hours, when Prabhupada and him were alone, he tried to ask Prabhupada, what did you do, Prabhupada? What was that in front of the deities you were doing? I couldn't hear much after that. So Prabhupada didn't respond to him. But after some time, the temple president came in the room of Prabhupada. And in due course of his talks, he was giving his daily report, or his, not a daily report, but yearly report of what they were doing in the temple. So during the course of the report, he was casually mentioning, we are offering these many aartis, we are waking up the Lord at this time. It was a newly opened temple. So he was giving all this information, and then Prabhupada stops him and he says, yes, I know. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, immediately he asks, so then Prabhupada says, yes, I know, the Lord told me. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, Prabhupada, you mean Paramatma within your heart told you? So Prabhupada says, no, Krishna in the form of deity, he told me. So the moral of this story, or the purport to this story is, and then Prabhupada further goes on to say, that the Lord is standing in the form of a deity and he is wanting to talk to us. So as living entities, prayer is a private talk between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. The Lord is standing in the form of an Archavigra deity, and how can we reciprocate with the form of the Lord by actually praying, going in front of him and reciting whatever is there within our heart. There may be broadly, in this book Satsvarup Maharaj has kind of broadly classified prayers into four particular elements and aspects. That is praise, where from the pages of Bhagavatam you see there are devotees who are just glorifying the beauty of the Lord, the nature of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord. So those types of prayers are in that mood of praise, where we actually offer that praise to the Lord. Then there is something called as gratitude or thanksgiving. So that is when we are really grateful to the Lord for something that he has done for us. So then we offer such a prayer. Prahlad Maharaj is very grateful to the Lord, so he's offering the prayers. Then there is another thing as, you could say benediction, or you want something from the Lord, you are asking something for the Lord. So you pray, Dhruva Maharaj goes to the Lord and he asks for something. Even though it is a material thing, he wanted a kingdom which is far more superior than his father, grandfather or anyone. So with that intention, he goes to the Lord. So for a benediction. Even so, it is said that there is no problem. Even if you lose your spectacles, you go and pray in front of the Lord. Don't worry. Prabhupada sometimes he says that we should know as devotees of what prayer we should offer. But then better than you don't do anything. Go to Krishna for everything and anything. Just like Dhruva Maharaj went to Krishna for completely material things, that is riches. He wanted the biggest kingdom in the world. But then as a result of which, when the Lord touches Dhruva Maharaj with a conch, finally when the time comes to offer prayers, Dhruva Maharaj doesn't offer those things. He doesn't ask for that. The Lord, as Paramatma within the heart, purifies our intelligence and makes us ask something which is for our ultimate highest good. So that is the power of prayers and that is the nature of the Supreme Lord. But nevertheless, whatever problems and strife we are, just go stand in front of the Lord, talk to Him. You and the Lord have a very heartful and private conversation where nowhere, and you speak in your own native language. Language is not a barrier. You don't need to be scholastic or learn Sanskrit or have any other, you know, command over language. Just go and just whatever situation is happening in your life, speak it in front of the Lord. There are other aspects you can offer prayers from the Bhagavatam, the Hare Krishna mantra. There are so many other things. But then the important thing is, realize this important aspect. Go and stand in front of the Lord and pray. And the last thing which Saswarup Maharaj says is forgiveness. Even in our deity worship, we beg for forgiveness as soon as every day we complete our deity worship. So that is also a very important element, like Aparadha Sahasrani Kriyanti Harnisham Mayada Soha Mitima Matva Samasva Madhusudana. So there are so many prayers like this. Indra, when he is completely subdued, his arrogance is subdued by Lord Krishna, he offers wonderful prayers in front to pacify and please Lord Krishna. Arjuna offers prayers in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Saketi Matva Pratavam Yaduktam, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Saketi. So Arjuna says, my dear Lord, I am so foolish. I was thinking of you to be my friend, but I didn't realize who am I dealing with. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are so many beautiful instances like that where the Bhagavatam, the Gita, the scriptures, our spiritual master and Prabhupada depict and implore us that as Jiva, all we need to do is take this opportunity of this human form of birth that you and me have got, realize it, connect to Lord Krishna. And the process of Vandanam is very simple. It is not a complicated thing. You do not need to kind of master millions of verses. All you need to do is have a prayerful heart, grateful heart, stand in front of the Lord and speak out your heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nithai Gaur Premanande.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.